Welcome to Your Turn, Mike Causey. Glad to have you with us. And this, if you're in the Washington area or the East Coast, this rainy, miserable day, but we're going to make going to brighten it a little bit. My first guest is Walton Francis. He is editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook, and for the last 33 years, he has been the gold standard for helping federal workers, retirees, postal employees pick the best health plan deal. And as Walton said earlier, he said this is probably the dullest open season we've been through, and that's a good thing because it means that premiums in most cases are going up modestly. A few are actually decreasing. The benefits changes are negligible, so you can really concentrate on health plans. And we've got a stack of emails here, and I'm tempted to just, after introducing Walton, just leave the room and let him go at it because he's been giving so many seminars. I heard him on C-SPAN earlier this week, and I know you've been doing a lot of things. Walt, you want to just go straight to the questions?
Let's do it, Mike.
Okay, and I'll try to shorten these. When I was hired 4 years ago, I went to the Blue Cross plan, which seemed like what everybody else was doing. What parameters should I consider in choosing a health plan? Early 40s, have a couple of health issues that will require regular treatment, so it doesn't sound like high deductible option is a good candidate or is good for me. Apart from that, I'm pretty confused.
Well, I guess he should do what I do in the checkbook's guide, which is figure out which plans offer the best deal, taking into account both the premium and expected out-of-pocket expenses. I'm not trying to push
just like your rankings in the checkbook. Correct?
Yeah, I actually go through estimates based on age, family size, health conditions. You know, I mean, we do it for him. But if you want to do it on your own, I would not stay away from high deductible plans. The issue is not, you know, you have to actually go through the calculations, okay? Because even if your expenses are not insubstantial, they may be a very good deal for you. Look at some of the lower premium plans if you have nothing better to do, but because you could save so much in premium that it's hard to justify being in any of the really high premium plans.
Here's one we get a lot. I'm going to combine a couple here, but this one comes up all of the time. It involves the five-year rule and the fact that two self-only plans are cheaper, at least in the premium phase, than a family plan, but not cheaper overall, as you pointed out. Here's one from Elaine, Health and Human Services. Says, I'm thinking about retiring in 2013. I've been the same plan for 10 years. After yesterday, I found a plan that would save me $1,000. So she wants to shift, but she said, I'm tempted to switch, but I've heard you have to be in the same plan prior to 5 years prior to retirement. Not true. Just be in the FEHBP for 5 years.
Absolutely. Okay. And let me just add, since she's from HHS, HHS is one of those agencies that gives you a free subscription to all its employees. Doesn't sound like she used the guide, but if she had, she would have found that $1,000 plan a lot quicker.
Okay.
Saving plan.
That's good. And the other one that we get all the time here, in fact, it's the theme of tomorrow's column. You're a federal worker. Your spouse is a non-fed. So you have a single plan. Your spouse has their private sector plan. Everybody's happy. And then when you get ready to retire, because the spouse's private plan will stink or disappear in retirement, you think, okay, then I'll buy a family plan. What's wrong with that plan?
Because you might have a heart attack before you retire, and then your spouse is out of luck for the rest of his or her life. So for heaven's sakes, cover your spouse in a family plan, quite apart from whether you're close to retirement or not, to preserve their entitlement for the rest of their life.
Yeah, it's insurance for insurance. Said, would you comment on the value of this FedVIP, the Federal Employee Dental and Vision Insurance Program? It's optional. Is it good or is it bad?
It's good, but not for everyone. The big advantage of it, I think, is if your dentist is in one of the FedVIP plan networks, you're guaranteed that plan's negotiated discount. That's the big saving. The problem is they all give you something like free annual checkups or semi-annual checkups. You'll pay zero, but you're paying enough in premiums that you're not going to get it back from that. You have to have some pretty expensive problems, and when they get real expensive, those dental plans usually only cover about a third. So they're good for many, but because of their discounts in network.
Here's one from Steve Walker. Says, Blue Cross Basic with Medicare Part B seems to be a good combination, even though you have to be sure and always use preferred providers. GEHA Standard with Part B does not provide a good prescription drug benefit unless all drugs are generic. If you have even one brand name drug, you need Medicare Part D with GEHA, but not with Blue Cross. Walt Francis has talked about GEHA Standard and Medicare Part B more than Blue Cross Basic. Does Walt think GEHA Standard with Medicare Part B and D is better than Blue Cross Basic with Medicare Part B? Wow.
They're both very good choices. Okay. He's absolutely right to put his finger on the prescription drug issue, but it's not a one-name brand drug will tip the scale. It's got to be – it's the dollars that are involved, okay? GEHA only pays about 50% – only pays 50% of the cost of name brand drugs. So, you know, if your annual drug bill at a retail price is a couple of grand, then you're going to – you know, that won't be the right plan for you without joining Medicare Part D, which he mentioned. A lot of people, that's not a normal choice, but in that particular situation, it's a good one. But Blue Cross Basic is a great choice for people with Medicare Parts A and B. Just have to understand that you don't get this 100% wraparound that you get in GEHA, for example, and the Blue Cross Standard option. So the main value of Part B in that case is to let you go out of network with Medicare paying.
Okay, good. One from Susan D., and she says, after looking at the checkbook analysis of these plans, as well as my current mail handler's plan, I decided that the mail handler's BP value plan is terrible, as well as the Blue Cross Basic. They both receive substandard ratings. This left me with my current MHBP standard and the BC Blue Cross standard. Of the two, Blue Cross seems to be the best buy for the money. So what do I do? I pray I'm right about this.
Well, I think she knows how to think about it, and she's halfway there. Mail handler's value option has a very low premium, but it's got some major defects, and it's not a good choice for most people. The Blue Cross Basic, I don't know what her complaint about it is. It's actually a very, very good plan and very economical. Will save her, you know, in excess of $1,000 in premium compared to the other two, the one she's in and the Blue Cross Standard option. Maybe she wants to go out of network and that's her concern. Okay, fair enough. But there are other plans that will save her money that let her go out of network. She could take a look at APWU or letter carriers. So, and I'm not sure, by the way, she's talking about substandard ratings. If she's talking about quality ratings, maybe, but that sounds like she's using our tool because we do give the quality ratings. We let you adjust the quality ratings for your particular health condition. So, and it turns out, because I just did this the other day, that depending on your disease condition, Blue Cross Basic can bounce way up in the ratings. So don't reconsider that choice. But obviously, there's nothing terrible about Blue Cross Standard. It's sort of the gold standard of the program.
Here's one from Dawn, and I'm very glad you're here. Says, I find it impossible to make this comparison. With several procedural codes in front of me, I contacted two providers to get their allowable amount for the specific procedural codes I have. Neither company could provide this allowable amount, and I'm going to stop off right there. What is an allowable amount?
Okay. All these health plans now use networks of preferred providers, and there's something usually called an allowance, okay, which is the amount they'll pay their providers for a particular medical procedure. The problem is there's 10,000 or more different medical procedures, and the amounts they pay vary by zip code.
Uh-huh.
So it's all on computer, and they're not, and it's also trade information. They don't like their competitors to know what they're paying. So they're not going to give that information to any consumer, even if they could. The important thing, I think, in these plans is you want to be using preferred providers where you know that the amount you're being charged, whatever it is, I mean, whether it's a $500 procedure or a $10
procedure, it's the best deal you can get.
Huh? It's the best deal you can get, and usually you're only going to pay a copay, not a coinsurance percent. So I wouldn't approach it the way she's approaching it.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a particular condition, you know, you're going to have a knee operation or something like that, well, for heaven's sakes, talk to some of the providers you're planning to use, see what they say about what plans cover that particular operation the best, and you might let that dictate your open season choice.
Okay, here's one from Ralph in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. 36-year Fed, always opted for Blue Cross Standard fee-for-service plan that has the highest biweekly premium. It's now the standard option. With most of the coverage, because my family has several serious medical conditions that need treatment, durable medical equipment, medications, and occasional surgery, and the mail-order prescription med program is a plus. This year, though, Blue Cross Basic option also looks attractive with its lower rates and same catastrophic maximum. Can you tell me which one is the better option for a family like mine?
I notice he's another HHS employee that doesn't know about his free online access to the guide through the Department of Health and Human Services. But so I urge him to take advantage of that. Just get on your computer and sign up and get your password and so on, and it'll help you a lot. Of those two plans, I think they're both excellent choices depending on your precise circumstances. You'll save a ton of premium money with Blue Cross Basic. The key constraint there is you can't go out of network and get any reimbursement. So if you have any expensive procedures, you better be using network providers. That said, that's the kind of thing you need to sit down and think about. What are the doctors you're using and expect to be using next year? And if it really matters, because it's expensive and so on, then help that influence your plan choice.
Okay, short break, and we'll be back with Walton Francis, the health plan guru.
To win and deliver government contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Meet Tech Systems. While often behind the scenes, Tech Systems has worked with government agencies and systems integrators for over 25 years. In fact, every year, they deploy over 70,000 IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems is active across a broad spectrum of government programs and has developed deep relationships who understand what works well and who does it best. Thinking about cybersecurity? Working on a cloud computing initiative. Tech Systems addresses critical program gaps related to people, projects, and work functions. Their delivery models scale from staff augmentation to IT project and outsourcing services to support transition, ramp-up, surge, and ongoing program support needs. Learn more at TechSystems.com. TechSystems.com.
Force 3 presents great moments in military sports history, celebrating 20 years of serving this nation's great military and government. Force 3, let's do something great. 5 times a national champion in men's soccer, Navy blitzed the field during the 1964 season. Runner-up the previous year, Coach Glenn Warner's squad outscored the opposition 48-11 and defeated 2-time defending champion St. Louis in the national semifinals. Navy's 1-0 win over Michigan State in the championship game capped a perfect 15-0 season.
This is Rocky Cintron, founder and CEO of Force 3. This year, Force 3 is celebrating 20 years of designing innovative technology solutions. But we're not throwing a party or designing a commemorative logo. Instead of congratulating ourselves, we're congratulating the men and women whose bravery and sacrifice has allowed us to pursue our dreams. For 20 years, Force 3 has proudly served the technology needs of the armed services, and we will never take for granted their remarkable service to us. So remember, the next time you see a soldier, say thanks.
If you're a federal employee, it's time to choose your health insurance plan. So now's a good time to know about a different health plan that actually rewards you for living healthy. It's called Healthy Blue, and it's the next generation of health benefits from CareFirst Blue Choice. Healthy Blue rewards you with no-cost office visits, x-rays, lab tests, and preventative screenings, plus no referrals. And how's this for a reward? After switching to Healthy Blue, families can earn up to $700 towards their deductible and individuals $300. Healthy Blue is a new and positive approach to health care, and it's one more example of how committed CareFirst is to working with you and your doctor to help you on the road to good health. Visit HealthyBlueRewards.com to see how easy it is to earn up to $700 now and save even more through the years. Then take greater control of your costs and your health by choosing Healthy Blue from CareFirst. You, your doctor, and CareFirst. A healthy relationship.
From the CareFirst Blue Cross Blue Shield family of healthcare plans, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association, some no-cost benefits and rewards are only available through your Blue Choice PCP.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here at 10 o'clock on WFED. Please join me this week for my special guest, Mary Agee, who's president and CEO of Northern Virginia Family Service. She'll tell you all about NVFS and its special needs. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. Check us out at OFPlaw.com.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today, or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. I'm talking with Walton Francis. He's the author and editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Plans, been doing it for the past 33 years. And as he reminds us, many federal agencies have subscribed to their online version, which a lot of people prefer to the print version. And so check that out. And you can even, heaven forbid, buy it yourself, subscribe yourself and or buy the book. It's excellent. It's the Bible. We're getting into questions here. This is from Larry H. He is a 25-year Fed, has had federal health insurance my entire life. Married, my wife works part-time in the private sector. We do not have children. We have GEHA Self Plus One, which I have not heard of. Since it is not the family plan, would my wife still be able to carry the health insurance in the event of my death? I don't plan on retirement for a few more years, and I want to make sure that she'll be able to maintain health insurance coverage.
Well, for sure. He's got to be in a family plan.
Right.
Now, I don't understand the Self Plus One either. There is a dental plan option for Self Plus One, but in the health insurance plans, there is only either Self Only or Self and Family.
So make sure he's in, gets in family this week.
Right.
Okay, very good. Let's see here. May have missed it, but this is from Rosemary in agriculture. May have missed it. I have yet to hear any mention of MDIPA and how it rates. The premium is jumping for a single enrollment, but it has some dental and vision included. Thoughts?
Yeah, it's. I think MDIPA is a great plan. It's the best dental benefit by far of any of the plans available in the D.C. area, but the premium is out of sight. It's just way too high. So I reluctantly have to suggest you consider looking at another HMO. For example, Kaiser, for those who are willing to go the Kaiser route, which is a great route for many but not for all, or Aetna, there's a basic, open access basic option that's very economical. We're talking about thousands of dollars of difference here in premiums. And the coverages aren't that much different except for dental, in which case, consider a standalone dental plan.
All right, here's one from Jesus in Las Vegas, Jesse, rather. He says, my question is about GEHA. You state the GEHA standard is a good plan. I have the high option currently and will be switching to Blue Cross Basic. I have a family and kids and like to get injuries or go to medical emergency several times. I have two medical operations, which each cost about $6,000. Every time I take my kids to the hospital, the average cost was $450 to $500 out of pocket. Anyhow, going on and on about the pros and cons of GEHA for someone like him, GEHA versus Blue Cross Standard.
GEHA High Option is one of those plans that has a very high premium. And the question is it really worth paying that premium? That said, if someone has a whole lot of very expensive conditions, I would say that Blue Cross Standard is a great option, provided you're willing to be very careful about restricting your choice to Blue Cross preferred providers. Both Blue Cross plans have a very good catastrophic benefit. No loopholes, no gotchas, no sneaky things. So GEHA Standard is a great plan for many, but it's got a hospital coinsurance of 15%. And it's, let me also say, it's got a good medical catastrophic benefit and a good prescription drug benefit, but they're separate, and you have to add the two together to get the kind of the right amount. So it's not as good catastrophic protection as Blue Cross Basic.
Okay, and you mentioned the magic word catastrophic, and I know you've said before, and apparently a lot of people don't realize this, and I must say I wasn't that aware of it until you mentioned it, but is the catastrophic coverage, that's the limit that you'll pay out of pocket before the insurance kicks in, and there's some startling differences in the federal health plan.
Oh, yeah, huge differences. What we do in Checkbook's Guide is add the premium, which you know you're going to pay, to the out-of-pocket that the plan states, and then we add in the little loopholes and gotchas that you have to read the small print in the plan brochure to realize, you know, for example, the plan doesn't cover prescription drugs in its regular catastrophic benefit, or it doesn't cover your physician copays. Okay, well, those things begin to add up. And what we found, you know, we have mail handler's value option could potentially cost you going on $30,000, okay, even though the premium is very low. At the opposite extreme, there some of the high deductible and consumer-driven plans, including premium, the most you may pay in some of those plans is in the vicinity of $5,000, okay? Blue Cross Basic and Standard, it's $5,000 with no loopholes, but you got to add the premium. The basic premium is economical, but the standard option premium is very pricey. You know, for family next year, it's $5,000. Now, if you're employed, you're going to get a tax saving. You won't actually wind up paying that much, but $5,000 premium plus $5,000 is really $10,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, people will say, people in my family live a long time, I'm never sick, but they don't factor in the fact that, A, it can happen, you can have some very bad luck, something could happen to one of your kids, or there's always the accident, the chance of accident. Don't you rate the chance of having a very bad year as, isn't it something like 17%?
Yeah. It depends. We go through this for different family sizes, different everything is different ages, different family sizes, different pay systems, and so on. But you know, you can even self categorize yourself in terms of your health status. But yeah, there are, as you get older, at least there are very significant chances of having. We use $25,000 as a good measure of a high priced, a high cost, I should say, year. Of course, the cost can get even a lot higher than that. So that's one reason why we actually rate all these plans also for their catastrophic protection.
You, various people just look at the plans and they say a self-only plan is X dollars. A family plan is Y dollars, always more, but usually more than double. We're dinks, double income, no kids. So why should we have a family plan? Why don't we both get the self-only option, even in the same plan, and that way we'll pay less premiums? But there's a catch. Correct.
Yeah. Well, it depends on which plan you're looking at. Some plans have double the catastrophic limit, the most you could be out of pocket for a family as they do for self only. So in that case, if that was a plan you were going to choose, it wouldn't matter. But the more common case is like Blue Cross standard option, using that as an example. The guarantee is $5,000 whether you're self only or family. But if you have two self onlys and you're in a car accident,
$10,000.
It's two of those $5,000 hits.
Okay. What are some other mistakes that people make when they're shopping? Fixating on premiums, I guess, is exclusively.
Leaving out their spouse because they think they're immortal. Some younger employees in particular don't buy any health insurance at all. That's nuts. You can buy, there's plenty of plans in this program with monthly premium is on. The annual premium is around $2,400, okay? And you may get a savings account, which with the tax savings on the premium actually can leave you better off at the end of the year if you're healthy than if you'd had no insurance at all. So it's kind of a no-brainer. It's almost like free insurance.
Benefits expert John Elliott wrote a guest column for me that was very popular, and it was about health savings accounts and that kind of thing. So you have health savings accounts, you have HD, which is high deductible, and you have CD, which is consumer-driven. Could you talk about those, because I am thoroughly confused.
Sure. The high deductible plans come with a savings account called HSA, and it's an account. It's like an IRA on steroids. It's in your name. You legally own it. You can carry it with you when you change plans, when you leave the government, when you retire, whatever. The money goes in tax preferred. It grows annually, tax preferred, and when you take it out, it's tax free also. Okay, so it's really
triple. Is it like a Roth IRA then?
It's better than a Roth.
Better than a Roth.
And that's the high deductible plans with the HSA account. The consumer driven plans use something called an HRA account, health reimbursable arrangement, and those accounts are very good too. Like the HSAs, they carry over year to year. There's no use or lose. But if you change plans and there's a balance, you will lose that amount. So that's not to say those aren't great plans for some people, but
there's some golden handcuffs
difference.
There. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, and then the health savings accounts are—they just give you money. They give you money.
Right.
Could you use it to pay the premiums?
You can use it. I can't remember offhand. You can use it to pay premiums of other things. For example, you could use it to pay the premium of your dental plan, okay, or your long-term care plan. I can't remember if you could pay the premium you're paying for the plan you're in is taken out of your paycheck, so you can't be using it. I guess the answer is no, because it comes out of your paycheck. You can't. I mean, in effect, it's your bank account. You're paying yourself.
Amazing. Back when you and I started doing this, you know, millenniums ago, the fee-for-service plans, Blue Cross and GEHA and APW and Samba, they were easily identifiable and very different from health maintenance organizations, HMOs. And I was looking at your book again this morning, and you go into some of the differences, and even in the HMOs, there are different kinds of health maintenance organizations, correct?
Right. All these differences are boring. Everyone now uses preferred providers in a network. One last thing, Mike, mm-hmm. I want to mention another kind of account. Flexible spending account, FSA. This is the open season for that as well. Only about 20% of federal employees sign up for it. Probably 90% should. That's the money that's taken out of your salary, and it's use or lose money, so you want to be very careful. You only use it for things you're sure you're going to spend. But for example, suppose you go to a psychiatrist out of plan, and the plan only pays about half the cost. Well, figure out the half you're going to be paying, put it in a flexible spending account, and it's given the tax preferences involved, it's like a one-third discount on anything you spend.
That's right. It reduces your taxable income to the IRS, and so when you're paying for something that's not covered, you're getting, depending on your tax break, a 20-30% discount on it.
Absolutely. And sort of another bottom-line point, there's no pay increase next year, no cost of living increase mm-hmm. for federal employees. Healthcare costs keep going up. Premiums keep going up. Not very much, but they're going up a couple of percent this year on average. Give yourself a pay raise by going to a less costly plan choice. Give yourself another pay raise by using a flexible spending account. People who don't make those decisions by December 12th, which is less than a week away, are throwing money away.
Okay. And that's a flexible spending account. Yeah, we'll get into that later on. And that can be used, I assume, to pay premiums for one of these optional dental plans?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And things like
eyeglasses.
Yeah.
Just
things that are not covered.
Co-payments that you have to put up. Pretty much anything. It used to be the case they would pay for over-the-counter drugs. They still will, but only in a very limited way. You actually have to get a doctor's prescription, which kind of defeats the purpose of over-the-counter. But, they will pay for lots of stuff. Okay. Including, by the way, we haven't talked about non-health things like daycare and so on. For people who want to learn about that fast, just go to either the checkbook online site, that's guidetohealthplans.org, guide to health plans, all one word, or the OPM website, opm.gov/insure. They have pretty much a huge array of information there, very similar to what we carry. They have everything we do, even including plan-by-plan comparisons, except the actual sort of calculation of what you're likely to be out of pocket and a few fancy features we have about plan quality and physician choice.
Right, and I would recommend your book and I know you prefer the online version, but it is just such a big help to people, and you've done all the work. So thanks, Walton Francis, for being with us, and this will wrap us up for the year, but you and I will stay in touch, and we'll see you back here next fall. Thank you.
Thank you.
Be right
back.
One of my federal friends is the Geico Gecko, and I've got good news for you. I might even say it's some of the best news ever. Okay, well, definitely in the top three. The big news, Geico offers discounts for most federal employees GS7 or above, which is no doubt a lot of you out there. So you could be saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, all with a company that began over 70 years ago with the sole purpose of serving government employees like yourself. Yeah, that's right. GEICO, the Government Employees Insurance Company. And today, well, we're the third largest car insurance company in the nation. And did you know about GEICO's 97% customer satisfaction rate? Well, saving money tends to make people rather happy, I think. So congrats again to those federal employees GS7 or above. Welcome to the Savings Club. Mike?
Got it. Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey. The Gecko's right. Discounts are available for most federal employees GS7, the equivalent, or above. Just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local GEICO office to see how much you could save.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
Phil Cerulli is the CIO for the managing and operations contractor of the Energy Department's Savannah River site. He says the entire national lab is being set up for wireless access.
And those things include video conferencing. You've got the iPads and iPhones issue, which we're embarking on and have already in a pilot mode for that. It's providing the tools so that people can get to their information, do their job, anywhere, anytime, on any device.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's Capacity Services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. Can I help you?
Yeah, my brother got an Insignia HD Radio Portable last month, and he really enjoys his workouts now.
Yep, HD Radio broadcasts are great. All kinds of new stuff on the HD2, HD3 channels.
And the Insignia HD Radio Portable is $49.99?
Yes, it's a great value.
Whoa, lead the way.
And did you know Insignia also offers an HD Radio Boombox for just $99?
Insignia HD Radio receivers. Get them now at Best Buy. HD Radio. More radio, more value.
Give the gift of Caps Hockey with a holiday gift pack. Caps holiday gift packs include two tickets to three exciting Caps games, an autographed puck, two Caps hats, and two passes for public skates at the Kepler Capitals Iceplex. There's no better way to celebrate the holidays. For more information on Caps holiday gift packs and to find out how you can win an ultimate Caps holiday experience, call 202-266-CAPS. Text HOLIDAY to 43803 or log on to washingtoncaps.com/holiday.
Wouldn't it be great if you could recapture some of the energy used to light all of those holiday displays? Put your hand on a light bulb and you'll feel that along with light, it produces a lot of wasted heat. Vinayak Dravid of Northwestern University says he can tap some of that. He helped engineer a material that becomes hot on one side and stays cool on the other, then turns that temperature difference into electricity.
Part of the light bulb could be hugged with this thermoelectric materials and then can be fed back into electrical grid.
Dravid says the material's unique chemistry allows electricity generation at 10 to 15% efficiency.
We are continuing to improve it further, but even at the 10 to 15 of waste heat converting back to useful energy is an absolute paradigm shift.
To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. We just had a discussion with Walton Francis, editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook. And if you missed it or if you want to hear it again or pass it on to a friend, our shows are archived on our homepage, and all you have to do is go to our homepage and listen to that. And Walton Francis has been our guest for the last 4 or 5 weeks, and a lot of good information there. So I hope you check it out. Coming up, we're going to be talking with Steve Losey and Sean Riley from the Federal Times. Steve, you're first at bat, I believe.
I'm here. How you doing?
Good, I'm doing good. Listen, your stories lately remind me of the 1960s. There were these Japanese horror films, Godzilla, Mothra, whatnot, and the creature keeps coming back. It's destroyed, and it keeps coming back. And in this case, it's the threat of an extended federal pay freeze. You know, it seems like every commission, every blue ribbon panel, the super committee itself, they were all looking at it. Didn't happen. And then there was a vote, I believe, last week in the Senate, where the idea of extending the federal pay freeze was rejected. And yet, you say it's still out there.
Yeah, before I go into this, I just want to say I like the monster movie metaphor. We'll have Mecha Pay Freeze, Son of Pay Freeze.
There we go. Yes.
But yeah. Anyway, okay. Being serious now. Yeah. The Republicans last week dropped a kind of a surprise bill to extend the payroll tax holiday, which is obviously a big hot issue nationally. They dropped the bill real quickly, and it came up for a vote that evening, this bill would have frozen pay another 3 years on top of the already 2 years, making it a 5-year total pay freeze. It also would have called for the government to cut the federal workforce by 10%, or about 200,000 employees, by only letting agencies hire one new employee for every three who leave. And as you can imagine, the federal unions, the management organizations, all the government employee advocates were apoplectic over this, and kind of rallied the troops and lobbied Congress hard to vote it down, and it did go down in flames. It only got 20 votes in the Senate, which wasn't even a majority of Republicans, and didn't come close to breaking the filibuster.
Well, this all just seems so incredible that they would be talking about reducing the – I mean, I know you're talking about cutting the deficit, but when they talk about getting rid of 200,000 jobs at a time when we're trying to increase employment, it's like somebody is not paying attention to what's happening.
Yeah, one other thing I think is interesting about this is the difference between the Republican and the Democratic bills. The Democrats say they're going to pay for the payroll tax bill by levying a 3.25% tax on millionaires, and Republicans say that is unacceptable, that would harm what they call job creators, and they're saying the more prudent way to pay for this payroll tax cut, tax cut extension, is to freeze pay for federal employees for three more years. So when it comes down to raising taxes on millionaires or freezing federal pay, the Republicans have, you know, at least some Republicans are voting for freezing pay versus raising taxes on millionaires.
Well, you know, as they used to say, if you're not confused, you haven't been paying attention. Trying to track these things with the super committee and whatnot. Now, the sequestration that you've written about, this process begins in 2013. Is that right?
That's right. January 2013 is when the sequestration cuts start, but I think we're going to start seeing a lot of agencies taking steps to cut their costs next year. One thing that we could see, the Defense Department is going to have some pretty significant cuts, and that's going to hit the intelligence world pretty hard, because a lot of intelligence agencies fall under the DOD. The DOD house. We've seen this before. We've seen the intelligence world get cut back in the 90s in the immediate post-Cold War era when we had the so-called peace dividend. And the government stopped hiring a lot of new intelligence analysts in the 1990s. And that came back, and that bit us on...
Yeah, that didn't work so well.
Yeah. And one thing it meant after September 11th, and the government realizes, oh, my God, we don't have... We've got big gaps in our analyst workforce. We need to build it up. There was there were a lot of old analysts, a lot of younger analysts. They were hired, but there weren't a lot of mid-career analysts, people moving up into those middle manager positions. And that was a serious gap in the intelligence workforce. And that's something that the ODNI, the Office of Director of National Intelligence, and various subsets of the intelligence community have been trying to work on for the last decade, and they've had some good success there.
Well, and for years, too, the emphasis, as you said, had been on Slavic languages, Russian and Chinese, various dialects, and then suddenly they find they need Arabic speakers, they need people who speak Urdu and Hindi and other languages that up until then maybe you only had a handful of people in government that were proficient with them.
Yeah, and... I sort of went off on a bit of a tangent
in
the background,
okay.
But we could be seeing something similar happen here if the DOD has to cut hundreds of billions of dollars from its budget. We could see intelligence agencies stop hiring. We could see them riff people. We could see them offer buyouts and early outs, and that could force the intelligence community to lose a lot of really vital. Really vital skills, really vital employees. And Ellen McCarthy, the Intelligence and National Security Alliance, which is a group that advocates for the intelligence community, she said this is absolutely the wrong time to start cutting intelligence, because there's been successes against Al-Qaeda recently. Osama bin Laden's dead. The government is saying that it's now just down to al-Zawahiri and one of his lieutenants, and so there's a lot of pressure on Al-Qaeda, and they say it's the wrong time to let up there. But there's also the Defense Department is going to have to be cut. That's almost certain to happen. And it would have much less of a reach. So INSA is arguing that you're going to need intelligence to focus the Defense Department in the right directions, because it can't be everywhere. It's got to make sure it's in the right spots.
Right.
And if you start cutting intelligence, it's going to be operating blocks.
And this situation with Pakistan could go either way, and not to mention Iran. So
that's right. Those
very interesting world we live in. Well, Steve, a question. I mean this sincerely. If they're talking about sequestration, which starts on January 1 of 2013, if I were an agency head, why wouldn't I do nothing? Just wait until January 1st and then make cuts on what I have now rather than cut in 2012 and then have to be forced, presumably, to make comparable cuts in 2013.
Well, I think the it takes time to prepare for these cuts. I mean, the cuts are going to be based on 2011 levels, not 2012 levels.
Okay.
So that's one thing. And if you you can't for example, the Government Accountability Office has been this last fiscal year was cutting people in advance of in anticipation of fiscal 2012 budget cuts. So there's lead time that's got to be built in, and I think even if we don't see people actually leave in 2012, we're going to see the groundwork be laid for people to leave. We're going to see buyouts be offered, and even if they aren't specifically off the rolls in 2012, they'll be well on their way. So,
well, it makes for full employment for folks like us, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, thank you very much, Steve Losey, for being with me. We're going to take a break and come back. We'll talk with your colleague, Sean Riley.
Mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
NASA says it's launched an internal app store. The apps at NASA site is only available to the agency's employees and contractors. It'll serve as a home for a suite of mobile applications that provide secure access to NASA's internal IT systems so employees can perform critical job functions from anywhere. The apps will be allowed on both government-owned and personal devices. They'll be hosted and supported by NASA's Center for Internal Mobile Apps in Huntsville, Alabama.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology. Information technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
The Office of Personnel Management has updated its dismissal and closure policy. It still prefers staggered departures, but includes immediate departure and shelter in place as last resorts. OPM's snow policy decision should be online by 4 a.m. whenever an inch of snow or ice accumulates overnight. OPM Director John Barry says he could be accused of overreacting, but he's okay with that. I'm Amy Morris.
WEPA, a nonprofit association, has just announced another 25% premium refund. Since 1996, WEPA has returned over $58 million in premiums, and the average WEPA policyholder has received over $1,700 in refund checks. WEPA also offers life insurance at rates far less than the FEGLI program. Is it a time you considered WEPA for your family's life insurance needs? For better insurance, better prices, and better value, visit WAEPA.org. Once again, that's WAEPA.org.
To win and deliver government contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Meet Tech Systems. While often behind the scenes, Tech Systems has worked with government agencies and systems integrators for over 25 years. In fact, every year, they deploy over 70,000 IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems is active across a broad spectrum of government programs and has developed deep relationships who understand what works well and who does it best. Thinking about cybersecurity, working on a cloud computing initiative. Tech Systems addresses critical program gaps related to people, projects, and work functions. Their delivery models scale from staff augmentation to IT project and outsourcing services to support transition, ramp up, surge, and ongoing program support needs. Learn more at TechSystems.com, TEK Systems.com.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
It's the Geico Gecko with a little hello to all you federal employees. Now, in government, there are people on all points of the political spectrum. But there is one thing that everyone agrees on. Saving money is good. Which brings me to the big news. Geico offers discounts to most federal employees GS7 or above. It don't matter if you're a Democrat or an aristocrat, left wing, right wing or a chicken wing. If you're a federal employee GS7 or above, you could be saving a lot of money on your car insurance by switching to Geico. So no matter if you're blue, or red, or in my case, green. If you're a federal employee, GS7 or above, contact Geico and see how much you could save. Isn't that right, Mike?
Exactly right, my little green friend. Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey. And like the Gecko said, discounts are available for most federal employees, GS7, the equivalent, or above. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris on the Federal Drive. It's your early. Six to ten on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. I've been talking with Walton Francis earlier about health insurance in the open season, which ends Monday. Remember, our shows are archived on the homepage, so you can listen anytime and pass it on to a friend, too. Could save them an awful lot of money. Just spoke with Steve Losey about the threat to federal pay and job cuts, at least reductions of up to 200,000 people. Still negotiating that. And now we're going to be talking with Sean Riley from the Federal Times. Sean, are you with us?
I am. Good to be with you.
Hey, thank you for being here. I heard you on, was it C-SPAN the other day? So that was impressive. I was talking to your colleague, Steve Losey, and I said he was like, he reminded me of the Japanese horror movies of the 60s, Mothra, Rodan, Godzilla, where the creatures were destroyed and then they kept popping back up. And in his case, it's the news of things like an extended federal pay freeze for up to 3 years, reduction of 200,000 jobs, furloughs and whatnot. And you're doing the same thing with the Postal Service.
It never seems to end.
Never goes away. No. I mean, this is about as serious as it gets, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think you're talking about tens of thousands of job reductions that the Postal Service is hoping to accomplish in the next couple of years. And unlike the remainder of the federal workforce, they can go ahead and do this in some cases, go ahead with these downsizes in some cases without congressional approval. And that's what they're proceeding with in one case, to basically cut their mail processing network more or less in half by essentially in the next year, eliminating about 28,000 jobs along the way.
Well, they were talking, please correct me if I'm wrong, they were talking about setting up a new health plan that would be independent of the FEHBP. It would be mm-hmm. run by the Postal Service, and also a retirement plan as well, right?
That's right, and in those cases, they would need approval from Congress. In fact, I just talked to somebody at the Postal Service today. They're still hoping to do that, but at this point, they face significant opposition, not just, as you might expect, from postal unions and management groups, but from members of Congress, and also, at least in regard to the health plan, from OPM, which of course oversees the FEHBP. John Barry, OPM's chief, testified a couple months ago before Congress and said, this would be a very complicated issue and require a lot of study, and that seems to be where it stands right now. So I don't see them getting the green light from Congress to go ahead with this anytime soon.
Have they mentioned anything about grandfathering in current employees, and if they got these new systems, imposing them only on people hired after a certain date?
I believe so. Now, in regard to the health, their efforts to create a new health plan, I'm not sure that's actually been worked out. I don't think so. In regard to the retirement program, if I recall correctly, I think there would be essentially there would be more senior employees would be grandfathered, and I think there'd be a transition kind of transitions set up for depending on how much seniority you had with the Postal Service, and that and essentially trying to work its way towards what's called the defined contribution plan, is you know something like a 401k or thrift savings plan, as opposed to the federal employees retirement system or the civil service retirement system.
Well, it just seems to me that somebody, maybe a lot of somebody's political and corporate and in the Postal Service itself, have lost sight of what the Postal Service is all about. I mean, the Benjamin Franklin idea is universal mail service, and today I can mail a letter in Washington, D.C., and it will go to Nome, Alaska by dog sled if necessary, and it will cost 47 cents. Mm-hmm. FedEx, UPS, and DHL won't do that. Mm-hmm. They won't carry for that. So you've got these private carriers, understandably, they're skimming the cream and mm-hmm. leaving the Postal Service with what's left, and the Congress seems to be losing its will. On the other hand, you guys had a fabulous story the other day where you looked at the salaries of top postal executives.
Yeah, this is very interesting. By law, the Postal Service has to report each year how many executives earn more than level one of the executive schedule, which is what is basically what a cabinet officer, a cabinet secretary makes, so about almost $200,000. And last year, in calendar 2010, you had 38 executives, starting with the Postmaster General, on down, who made in excess of that amount, and that was about three times the figure for 2009. The Postal Service's explanation is essentially that this was needed to help make up for a couple of years of no salary changes. You know, this is done through performance bonuses, but you know, this comes at a time. This came at a time when the Postal Service was losing $8.5 billion, and it's also been asking its members of its unions to take make significant concessions. The American Postal Workers Union, one of the largest, you know, agreed to a contract earlier this year that will essentially set up a separate lower pay scale for new hires. And then, as you alluded to, the Postal Service wants to go ahead and create its own health care and retirement systems. And the reason for that in both cases is it would be cheaper and presumably, as a result, provide less generous benefits. So it doesn't look very good for them, whatever their motivation or rationale for them to, be rewarding top executives in this way when they're asking for sacrifices from the rest of the workforce.
Well, you know, beware of the word reform in Washington, but when they had postal reform, what was it, in the 1970s?
Yeah.
And after a while, somebody said that what Congress in its wisdom had done for whatever reason was it created an organization that was the worst, had the worst trappings of a federal bureaucracy combined with the arrogance of a corporation, a private corporation. And, you know, and when you have, and I believe a couple of years ago, it was discovered that the Postal Service was paying the health premiums for all of its executives, wasn't it?
That's right, just a year ago. And that, I'm told, has changed. But, yeah, they were completely funding the health care benefits for, I forget how many top executives. Now, I think the relatively new Postmaster General is requiring them to pay, you know, to actually contribute. But I think that was typical of an attitude that, that the current management says it's now changing.
Well, you know, when others are taking pay cuts or pay freezes, or they're agreeing to new employees starting at lower ranks, and when the health premiums are going up, and they're talking about deliberalizing both the retirement system and the health premiums, if they cost less, that means they're not going to be as good,
mm-hmm.
And that may be part of it. But then to have the executives making these kinds of salaries and even paying for health insurance when these are the men and women who could most afford to pay the premiums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, in any time when you're going to have downsizing of this kind, and the Postal Service says it doesn't have any choice, but, you know, issues of equity and fairness, you know, become very important. And it's the Postal Service should note, in I think back in the summer, said it is freezing, and this freeze has since said is going to extend through next year. year. It's freezing all executive compensation, through the end of next year. So they're saying now they are sacrificing. Of course, they're sacrificing on a much higher base than the average mail carrier or postal clerk makes.
Maybe they should change their motto from the mail must go through to let them eat cake. Sean, listen, out of time here. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week and get an uptake and bring us some good news, okay?
Okay, I'll do my best.
All right, thank you. So thanks for listening. Hope you'll be here next Wednesday, and stay safe this week.